Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's reading from the beautiful book of Ruth begins and ends its story in Bethlehem. Bethlehem at a time before the village's two greatest sons, David and Jesus, were born. It was in the days when the judges ruled, we are told. Those were the days that followed the time of the Israelites' conquest of the Promised Land under the leadership of Joshua. Those days lasted about 350 years. And they were days that were marked by alternating periods of spiritual darkness and light for the people God chose. After they had inherited the land of Canaan from God, the Israelites failed to heed God's warnings given to them through Moses of the dangers that lay within that land to their life of faith and obedience to the Lord. Though the land was rich and good, a land flowing with milk and honey, as Moses often described it, there were peoples long had been living in that land who worshiped false gods of fertility and power, gods that embodied the Canaanites' primal fear of death and their desire to find security in earthly prosperity. Asherah, Baal, Dagon, and Molech commanded the trust of most of the Canaanites. These gods in their temples were depicted by imposing images and statues. They were depicted respectively as a beautiful ocean goddess was Asherah, a bull-like storm god, Baal, a fish god, Dagon, and an insatiable and horrible god of fire, Molech. Their worship included evil rituals involving sexual acts and child sacrifice. The Israelites, despite the horror of these gods, found themselves drawn to these gods because they, like the Canaanites, shared in these basic fears and desires. And so they worshiped pagan gods over the years alongside the Lord their God who had brought them to the land. This idolatry incensed God, and so he allowed a series of Canaanite tribes to invade the land and enslave the Israelites. Through those oppressive periods, the Israelites came to their senses and realized that what they were suffering was God's judgment on their sin, and so they would call upon God for deliverance. The Lord heard their cries again and again and gave them leaders over the years like Gideon, Jephthah, Deborah, and Samson. These rallied the Israelites to fight for freedom from their oppressors. These judges were used by God to deliver the Israelites and then to rule over them in peace throughout their lifetimes. The death of a judge, however, inevitably led to the return of the Israelites to their faithless and idolatrous ways. So they repeated these cycles of disobedience, judgment, deliverance, and peace throughout the years that the judges ruled. During that time, the events recalled in the book of Ruth took place. The story begins in Bethlehem, the hometown of a man named Elimelech. It's not that hard to pronounce, but I want to get on Eli. Elimelech and his wife, Naomi. Bethlehem means house of bread. I wonder, was the name an expression of the residents' hope for their life in that area? Or was Bethlehem actually surrounded with rich farmland? Perhaps. But in the days of Elimelech and Naomi, Bethlehem and its neighboring region of Judah was stricken by a severe famine. And so this couple with their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, left their home in Bethlehem in search of better circumstances for their lives. They traveled east out of Canaan and resettled in the land of Moab. For a time, this Israelite immigrant family may have found better life in Moab. But then tragically, Father Elimelech died, and he left Naomi and her sons alone, far from the support of extended family. Both sons grew to adulthood in Moab and took wives from their Moabite neighbors. After about 10 years of marriage, the sons of Naomi died as well. The family dwindled to just Mother Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Naomi and her daughters worked in farm fields, probably gleaning leftover grain for their food. There, Naomi heard a report that the Lord had visited his people in Judah and given them food. Once again, Bethlehem was a house of bread. So Naomi made plans to return home. Her Moabite daughters-in-law, faithful companions of hers through her years of tribulation and loss, set out with Naomi for Judah. Soon, though, Naomi began to press them to leave her and to return to their homeland. Still young enough to remarry, Naomi reasoned that her daughters-in-law would be much better in Moab. It would be much easier for them to find husbands there. Eventually, Naomi prevailed upon Orpah and convinced her to remain in Moab, but not Ruth. That's not part of our reading today. And actually, I have to confess, I missed that while I was studying, because I just carried on with the story as I was studying and preparing for today. But after Naomi told the girls to go home, only Orpah went. Ruth remained steadfast at the side of her mother. She vowed that she would never leave Naomi. In fact, Ruth's vow is such a remarkable vow of faithfulness. Where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge, she said to her mother-in-law. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. In those beautiful words, Ruth promised her loyalty to both Naomi and to the Lord himself. Your God will be my God, she said. Nothing could dissuade her. She would journey with Naomi to Bethlehem and make the rest of her life there. For Ruth and Naomi, Bethlehem lived up to its promise as a house of bread, a place of great provision. Ruth found work gleaning in the grain fields of a man of Judah known as Boaz. Eventually, Naomi discovered that Boaz was a relative of hers. According to the law of Moses, such a man was eligible to marry a widow like Ruth, and Boaz was happy to do so. There in Bethlehem, Ruth and Boaz were married, and she bore her husband a son and her mother-in-law Naomi a grandson. In Bethlehem, the house of bread, the good and kind Lord of Israel provided for his people. He blessed them with his rich gifts of faith renewed, family increased, food, shelter, and peaceful life. Though the book of Ruth ends there, its closing hints that Ruth's Bethlehem story set the stage for other stories yet to come. The first would be Ruth's great-grandson, whom the Lord would choose to unite his people as a faithful nation under his godly kingship. That son's name was David. Centuries on, King David, too, would have a descendant born in Bethlehem. He, too, was born to be king, but his reign is unending. The royal son of Bethlehem once called himself the bread of life, who came down from heaven to give true life to people like us whose sin locked us in a prison, afraid to die, longing for life, but unable to find such freedom. Our King is Jesus. Jesus is the true house of bread for hungry sinners like us, to free us from sin and death's stranglehold. He died our death, and he was raised to life to give us life unfettered. Jesus invites all the descendants of Adam and Eve, estranged from God's good reign, to return home to him to receive life and salvation forevermore. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Ruth's story began and ended there, directed and sustained by God's goodness and mercy. Our salvation story with Jesus began there too. Jesus, the Son of David, the bread of life, completely meets our needs for life and salvation. No other God can truly feed and save us. Bethlehem, the house of bread, Jesus, the bread of life, our salvation story with him never ends. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and King. Amen.